Like for you to open your Bibles to the book of Genesis, please, to begin this morning, the book of Genesis. During this summer, there's certain subjects that I've had on my heart for a long time, and we're taking a break from our regular expositional study and kind of touching on a few of these subjects. And, you know, for years, I have said these words. I have said, we need to be concerned about people because people have a soul and the soul has an eternal destiny. And yet I've struggled with a couple areas, the difference between soul and spirit and a few things. And so I thought this morning I would share with you some thoughts about the word soul. The Bible tells us about soul approximately 750 times. The Bible makes it very clear that man is made of material matter. We see that this morning. We see hair and we see hands and we see arms and we see faces. We have flesh and we have bones and we understand the material matter very, very, very well. But the Bible makes it clear we have an immaterial area to us, and that is the soul and the spirit. And the first place that we read about soul is found here in Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. And the Lord God formed a man of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. As I had prepared the basic outline and was thinking about it yesterday as I was going about some of the tasks and the duties of yesterday, I just couldn't get out of my mind this picture. Going back in time to the very beginning of history, and the unseen hand of deity reaches down, and as we would take the shovel and a little plastic tool and work in sand and make a sandcastle, God took His own hands and He made man. The Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 1, He made man in His own image. But He didn't make man out of the sand or the dirt in His own image. He made us according to His pleasure, according to His design. And after it was all done, He stepped back and He breathed into that form there lying upon the earth the breath of life, and that form became a living soul. Adam's eye began to open. His finger began to twitch. That heart began to pump blood through the veins and bring oxygen to the organs, and the organs began to work. And Adam was able to hear the sounds around him. He became a living soul. He breathed in, and for the first time, man took air into those lungs that God had made. Just amazing scene as I try to picture what took place so many, many years ago. And man became a living soul as God breathed into him. That is so amazing to me. For years I said, you know, we have a soul. And so that's a dimension that, let's say, animals do not have. But as I studied through and was looking through the Hebrew word that's used continually from Genesis all the way through Malachi for the word soul, I saw that there are several places that God breathed or God gave life even to animals. And it's interesting, the same Hebrew word is used for that. Now, you say, what's the difference between an animal and a man? Sometimes I wonder. I raised 6 kids, so there were times that I questioned that. But the Lord's words here in Genesis chapter 1 makes it very, very clear. He says the difference is, that is Genesis chapter 1, He made us, verse 26, in His image. God said, Genesis 1:26, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, make man in our image. Now again, I want to underscore, you and I do not look like God physically, but we are made in the image of God. How are we made in the image of God? First of all, God is perfect. And when He made man, He was perfect. He was morally made like God. The sad note is that did not last long. How else are we like God? As much as we struggle with this sometimes, animal does not have intellect like we. We have the ability to think and process thought and to express it in emotions. You can say, well, my dog can express things in emotions, but it does so out of instinct rather than intellect. And so God gave us, made in His image, the moral likeness and the natural likeness of intellect and the expression of that intellect through personality and emotion. 1 Corinthians 15 says, and so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Now, beloved, from that time on, at every conception, the division of that first cell, every division of the first cell, every time, that first breaking of the egg and expanding the two became a living soul. And so a person becomes a living soul at the moment of conception and the moment of life. Oh, what a thrill it is to look back and see how God made man with a soul. You say, Pastor Larry, number two, does man have more than just a soul? Yes. You know, there's an interesting text. It's found in 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Please turn there. And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God. Now, I want you to notice, in the Greek, these are lined up so clearly, so cleanly, as three distinct and different parts. I pray God your whole spirit, two, soul, three, body, be preserved blameless. So we are more than just two parts, material and immaterial. We are material in the fact of being physical, but immaterial in that we have a soul and a spirit. You say, Pastor Larry, what's the difference between soul and spirit? Listen carefully. There are times that they are used interchangeably. But when you look at the use of soul and spirit, the pneumas, spirit, soul, the psyche, and you look at the words, you will see that the soul is the real us, the real you. The spirit is that part of us that communicates with God. Listen carefully. Revelation. John said, as he penned the words, he said, being in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Remember the words of the Lord Jesus? The Lord Jesus said these words. He said, God is a Spirit. They that worship Him must worship Him in what? Spirit and in truth. So the Spirit is our God consciousness. It is that part of us that enables man to know God and communicate with God. Now, the soul is the real us. As a little boy, we had a fellow who helped at the farming. His name was Aaron. And I remember Mr. Aaron, he had lost his right hand in a corn picker. The corn stalks wrapped around the rollers that snapped off the corn. And he reached in to take those stalks off from the rollers, and it caught his hand, and it went in, and it literally took his hand off. And to grab his hand away, he grabbed with this arm, and when he did, this arm went in, and it went all the way up to his shoulder. And Aaron had no arm and had no hand on the right arm. That amazed me. I remember asking my mother or my dad, with his physical features that we can see missing, remember asking him if he was all there. Now think of a little boy asking that question. Later on, a friend of mine lost a leg in a motorcycle accident. And the reality came to me, you know, even though he had only one leg, he was still all there. Some of you have been to the doctor, and the doctor has removed some of you. You're still all there. even though part of you may not be there physically, you're still all there. You see, it's the soul that makes up our person. And it's the soul that makes up the real part of us. And so God has given us a soul. Every person has a soul. Number three, I want to underscore, look at Genesis chapter 35. I want to underscore something that we know, but I just want to emphasize it. Genesis chapter 35. Here is a story that has taken place millions and millions and millions of times. Genesis 35, verse 16. Here we read about a young couple, a married couple and their family. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way, and they came to Ephrath. And Rachel travailed. She was expecting a child, but she had very difficult, hard labor. Came to pass that when she was in this difficult time of hard labor, that the midwife that was with her said unto her, "Fear not." I mean, don't be afraid, Rachel. And the reason is because you're going to have a little boy. You're going to have a son, and that boy is going to live. And then verse 18 says, "And it came to pass, as her soul departed, her soul left, for she died. And she called his name as she was dying, Benoni, which the father called Benjamin." And so we have the story of little Benjamin being born. Rachel died and was buried there on your way to Bethlehem. Her tomb is on the right hand side as you go to Bethlehem today. Jacob set a pillar upon her grave, and that's the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Underline those words, "her soul departed." And so, beloved, it's very clear. Job tells us in chapter 27 that God taketh away the soul. The body without a spirit and a soul, James chapter 2, verse 26, is dead. And so there comes a time, for it is appointed unto a man once to die. Our soul leaves our body. And when our soul and spirit leaves, the body ceases to live. The heart stops circulating the oxygen around to the organs. And the organs cease to function when we die. I want to emphasize the fact the Bible does not say that man is a spirit. The Bible says man is a soul and has a spirit. And when that soul leaves man, the body is left behind. Man dies. Romans 5, verse 12. "For by one man sin entered into this world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned." Matthew chapter 16, verse 26 says, If a man, now here's a hyperbole, if you could possess the whole world's wealth, all the diamonds of South Africa and all the gold of Africa that's in Fort Knox and all the silver in the silver mines, if you could possess all the wealth in the world, if you could, you can't, but if you could, and you died, and your soul departed from your body, and was separated forever from God, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It wouldn't be worth it. And so the soul separates from the body. One day, your heart will beat its last beat. One day, your lungs will exhale their last time. At that moment, your soul leaves the tent that you lived in, that your soul lived in, and you're no longer here. That's the next point. Number four, the soul lives on. The soul lives on. You are so familiar with Paul's word. He says, "I'm very confident, and I assure you this, for to be absent from the body is to be what? Present with the Lord. Aren't you glad our soul goes to be with God? I love those words in John 14. In my Father's house are many mansions. But were not so, I would have told you, I go and prepare a place for you. Our soul goes to be with the Lord. In Psalm 16, there's a messianic verse, and it talks about David pointing to the Lord Jesus, that his body would not be left in the grave, and his soul not be left in the grave. And so our soul does not go to sleep when we die. When we die, the soul goes to the place that God has prepared for it, heaven for believers. About 3 weeks ago, we studied from Luke 16. It was clear there that the rich man died and his soul went to hell, eternally separated from God in pain and punishment and torture and torment. That's a horrible thought, but it's real, that when the soul leaves our body, it continues to live. For us, it's exciting to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. But for those who don't know Christ, it's not so exciting. Matthew 10 says, "Fear not those who can destroy the body." Matthew 10:28, "But those who can destroy the body and the soul." How is the soul destroyed? The soul is pain and punishment and torture and torment forever in separation from God. Now, beloved, death is a departure. It is the separation of our soul from our body. It is the separation of us from our loved ones. And I'm glad that in my Father's house there's many mansions. I'm glad, Psalm 23, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Verse 6. I'm so glad that there's life after death. Let me review with you. God breathed into man. He became a living soul. Number two, every person conceived becomes a living soul. That soul separates from the body at death. Number four, that soul goes into everlasting life in heaven or hell. Number five, God must save the soul. Sometimes we'll hear someone give a sweet testimony and they'll say, "I'm so thankful that God saved my soul." That's good words. I'm reminded of 1 Peter 1, verse 9. If you want to turn there just briefly, just to read one verse of Scripture, that's a good explanation of what takes place at salvation. Here he's talking about being born again, about believing. He says, when you believe, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, and you receive the end of your faith. Beloved, what does faith in Christ get us? Notice what it says. The salvation of your souls. And so we're saved. Our souls are saved. The body is left behind, but our soul is saved. It's saved from destruction. It's saved from damnation. Hebrews 10, verse 39. We are them that believe unto the saving of our soul. James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And so you see, we have this wonderful joy of having our soul saved. Sometimes we sing the chorus, "Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. Thank you, Lord, for giving to me thy great salvation so rich and so free." God saves our soul if we trust Him, believe in Him, receive Him as our Savior. I want to just comment number six. Now that our souls are saved, while we're still alive, we are a saved soul. I mean, God belongs to us and our soul belongs to Him. That's an exciting text. You're back there in Peter, turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. I love this little thought here in Hebrews 6, 19 about our soul. In our text in Hebrews 6, he's talking about the fact that as believers, the Lord Jesus died on the cross for us. He was buried. He rose again. And He ascended. He's now in the presence of God the Father. And notice what it says in verse 19. This gives us a hope. A hope. And it's like an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, which entereth into that within the veil, behind where God dwells. Picture an anchor, a sea anchor, a boat anchor. And the chain goes from our soul all the way up to the anchor, which is fastened surely and soundly in heaven. Beloved, that's the assurance we have that God has saved our souls. We referred to Psalm 23 before, but in Psalm 23, about the middle of it, it says, He restoreth my soul. Now that you're saved, God's in the business of restoring our souls. So we have difficult days, and we have discouraging days. We have tough times. But God's in the business of restoring our soul because our soul belongs to Him. Well, time to close. This morning, I have way more material about the soul. I've never studied the soul before than we'll be able to share. But let me close with one last passage. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 11. I'm so excited for tomorrow morning. It takes a lot of work. And there's a lot of headache. But where you're sitting this morning will be filled with about 500 kids and about 150 workers screaming to the top of their lungs, by the way. I'm so glad I came to Bible school. Some of the teachers are going to be sitting there saying, I'm not so sure about this. But 500 plus kids will be here. Think of that. And every child has a soul. Every soul has a time that it's going to be in that body. And then it will depart. And every one of those little children, their soul, the real being, is going to go to heaven or hell. Look what it says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 30. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. And he that winneth souls is wise. What does that mean? Win them to Christ. Lead them to the Lord. Matthew 28, the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Why? Because every person has a soul. That soul is going to leave their body. That soul is going to live forever in heaven or hell. In Acts 1, verse 8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. Why? Because every person has a soul. Every soul will leave the body, and that soul will have an eternal destiny in heaven or hell. That's why we must begin looking at people not just physically, but the fact that they have a soul. That there is a life living within them that God began at the moment of their conception that's going to live, last, forever. I'm reminded of the little chorus, Lord, lay some soul upon my heart and love that soul through me. And may I humbly do my part to win that soul for Thee. I naturally like people. I go into a room. I preached in Rhode Island on Wednesday night. I walked in the room. I met every person who came in that auditorium that night for the message. I talked to everyone. I met, shook their hands. I just like people. Beloved, we need to see behind every person a soul with an eternal destiny of heaven or hell. Let's bow our heads.